In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The text for this morning's sermon is the gospel appointed for this third Sunday in Advent, this Sunday of Gaudete. The gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter, beginning at verse 2. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.'" Thus far, the Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus is the one who was to come. He is the one who has come to pay the atoning price for the sin of the world. Do you doubt that? Does your faith struggle when you see the mess the world is in, or that our country is in, or that your own personal life is in? Jesus remains all of that for you anyway. And all the more so, paying for your sins, relieving your distress, comforting and reassuring your faith. Such is the comfort our Lord gives us in this morning's gospel. It's the comfort that our Lord gives to John the Baptizer. John has sent a couple of his own disciples to inquire of Jesus, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" To understand our Lord's response, hear the words of the prophet Isaiah, the 35th chapter, verses 4 through the first half of verse 6. The prophet Isaiah writes, "Say to those with fearful hearts, 'Be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance. With divine retribution, he will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy.'" Thus far, the prophet. Our Lord often speaks on his own authority rather than citing the opinions of other rabbis the way that the scribes and the Pharisees often did. That's because, not to put too fine a point on it, he is the Lord. He speaks that way because, simply put, there is no higher authority than him. But when the question at hand goes precisely to that issue, are you the one, or shall we look for another? Well, then you have a logical dilemma. Of course, a true prophet is going to say he's a true prophet. Of course, a false prophet is also going to say he's a true prophet. So you can't just walk up to a man and ask him if he's a true prophet, have him tell you yes, and figure that that settles anything. And Jesus knows that. John is unsure of him. So Jesus answers with what John is sure of. He's sure of Isaiah. So Jesus tells John's disciples to take a look around, but look around with Isaiah 35 on the brain. Is it a match or isn't it? It is, of course. And Jesus tells them to go report that to John. Why doesn't John come and ask the question himself? Well, as the first verse of our text indicates, that's because Herod has him in prison. He's in prison for speaking the truth about Herod's illegitimate relations with his sister-in-law, essentially. There are passages in Isaiah that speak of release for the captives, too. It was captured in our hymn this morning, the sermon hymn, verse 2. He comes the prisoners to release, in Satan's bondage held, the gates of brass before him burst, the iron fetters yield. This too is a theme you can find in the book of Isaiah. But Jesus doesn't quote those verses. That wasn't a comfort he had to offer John. John wasn't going to get out of that prison alive. And Jesus' answer to John reveals that Jesus is not so much concerned about maintaining his own credibility as he is in strengthening John's faith to give him the courage and the confidence that he's going to need when his last hour comes. It seems odd that John would have to ask, was this not the one in whom we saw evidence of faith clear back in the womb when he leapt for joy at hearing the sound of the Virgin Mother of God's voice? Had he not proclaimed of him, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? Did he not see the dove descend and hear the voice from heaven speaking the words, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased? How can John be doubting now? Well, let me turn the question back on you. You know you are baptized, and how often you have heard the Word of God proclaimed to you. And it really did bring you peace, and it really did answer maybe one of your questions. It really did calm your troubled mind. How many times have you cried out to the Lord with some very specific, deliver us from evil prayer? And your cries were heard. The catastrophe you feared steered clear of you. Or maybe the Lord worked something even more marvelous in your life. You know, like some growth or maturity. But how often has the Lord come through for you? And when the next day of trouble comes, will you look back on all those past deliverances, smile a big smile, look up to heaven with a chuckle in your voice and say, "Ah, Lord, I know you've got this too." And carry on with your day without missing a beat. Or will you forget, or at least minimalize those deliverances and panic and cry out to heaven, just not quite sure if the Lord really will come through for you this time? In other words, John was a weak-faced, fallen, sinful human being just like you. He believed. He really did. Like you do. But he was in prison. And he struggled. He really did. Just like you do. Perhaps part of the reason for that was that he and you expect things out of Jesus that he hasn't promised. Most of the Jews back in that day were imagining a king whose kingdom was very much of this world. The one who would restore Israel to the glory days of the reign of King David. The one who would certainly see the Romans run off out of the promised land. There are those today who would teach us to put our faith in a God who will give us our best life now. And they hardly mention Jesus, but if they do, it's still all about a bigger, better, faster, richer, healthier, happier you. If you work whatever the system is, positive mental attitude and taking healthy risks and not dwelling on past mistakes and whatever all else goes into giving you the right frame of mind, goodness will inevitably start to flow. At very least, you know, you won't get beheaded because you spoke the truth of the Lord. We'll try telling that to John the Baptist, or to four more children under the age of 15 who just last week refused to call Muhammad a prophet of God, saying instead that they loved Yeshua, Jesus. When, like John the Baptist before them, the reward bestowed upon them by representatives of the Islamic State was the separation of their heads from their bodies. They passed from this veil of tears and into the light of everlasting glory at the right hand of God. But Christians do get beheaded or raped or driven from their homes. They certainly get cancer or suffer financial difficulties or experience rejection in a relationship. And as far as moral living and prayerful devotion and tithing and church attendance are concerned, you can be as pure as the driven snow, and all of these bad things can still happen to you. That's the truth. They always have. They still do today. Until our Lord comes again in glory, it will keep on being like this. And anyone who says otherwise is trying to sell you some cotton candy Christianity. But we hear this feel-good fluff so much that sometimes a little of it gets under our skin too. And then we doubt our Jesus when our lives don't unfold quite the way we think they should. Dear ones in Christ, Jesus pointed John back to the words of Holy Scripture. John was a fallen, sinful man just like anyone, but he was also the redeemed of the Lord. He was no reed shaken by the wind. He was no refined gentleman attired in soft clothing. He was a prophet of the Lord, the fulfillment of the promised forerunner of the Lord that we find spoken of in Malachi. The fact that a prophet has a moment of doubt, the situation in which he dares to ask a question that exposes a weakness of faith, that doesn't mean he's a false prophet. It means he's an honest man who honestly wants to make sure he's getting matters of the faith right. And in his weakness, has a question. What matters to the people listening to Jesus? What matters to you listening to me is the faithfulness of the words you receive. The weakness of body, of mind, of emotion, of faith that may reside in the messenger really aren't your problem, as long as they don't shake you from the message. Believe the message. So when John asks his question, Jesus points him to the Scriptures. If you have questions, you go look at the Scriptures too. They will tell you what kind of a Jesus to be looking for. Not the work our program and everything's going to turn out great Jesus of the theology of glory. But the yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me, Jesus. This is the theology of the cross. This is the Jesus who not only didn't destroy the Roman army, This is the Jesus who died on the cross at Roman hands to take away the sin of every Roman soldier who served in that army, who died on the cross to take away the sin of the world. Your, my, glory-seeking heart would long for a Savior who just flies you above it all. You get a Savior who goes through the muck, the hardship, the suffering, and the death right along with you, so that you may be raised to eternal life right along with Him. Trust not in a trumped up Jesus. Trust rather in the true Jesus of Holy Scripture. And then believe the faithful message proclaimed by the messenger of God. Even if that messenger eats strange food and wears strange clothes, and messes with bees to get his wild honey, and is frightful to look upon. Even if that messenger has doubts of his own, believe the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of the flawed and imperfect servant of the Lord. Rejoice that his doubts and your doubts are known to the Lord, and you are dearly loved and forgiven by Him, as was John. Then repenting of your sins, including your flawed expectations of what God should be doing in your life, receive the correction of His holy word, and most especially receive the glorious good news, both that the sin of the world has been taken away, and that the forgiveness of sins has been personally given to you by way of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, your Savior. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.